Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Last year, four-game sweep. What will happen this year? Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps for insight. Let's go to the Pacers Broadcast Network from Fox Sports Indiana. He hosts their pregame, postgame show, the sideline reporting. He's Jeremiah Johnson. Jeremiah, good to have you with us.
Good to be with you. It's sunny here in Indianapolis. What kind of weather am I going to get in Cleveland?
It's nice today. It's almost 70.
Jeremiah, it's always sunny in Cleveland.
That's what I always think of that place, yeah, right?
Wrong show, I guess.
Yes.
No, it's actually pretty decent.
All right. Well, that's good. We're expecting a competitive series. It could not have been any closer last year, at least in terms of the margin of those four games. But the sweep obviously went in favor of Cleveland. But it feels like a different Pacers team coming your direction this time.
And a different Cavs team than the Pacers saw during the regular season. The regular season, 3-1 for Indiana. All of those games before the trade deadline where the Cavaliers obviously changed some guys around. So what does that do for the Pacers not having any feel for this Cavs team? Other than scouting.
Yeah, I mean, they have a feel for George Hill, obviously, knowing George and having him play for the franchise for so long. And, I think that still with Cleveland, they want to play small, and there have been times even when they've had their other lineups that they played small. And so the Pacers, I think, are prepared for that, and they have to be, you know, willing to be able to defend the three-point line. I mean, in looking at the numbers and just kind of the potential matchups that Cleveland will throw out there, it seems like if you can hit threes and defend the three, you have a chance to win games and maybe even win the series. So I do think it'll be interesting in that those four games that already have been played in this season series were all before the trade deadline. And so it definitely has a different look and feel. And, you know, Cleveland's coming into this, you know better than I do, but they're playing better than they were last year even going into the playoffs. I mean, I think that LeBron really wanted to get the three seed. Would you agree?
I don't know. Do you think he wanted to play Miami? That's the we kick that around here all the time because they've really, really struggled in Miami. And
I don't think he wanted the three because of he was trying to avoid the Pacers, but I do think maybe he has the respect for Philadelphia and that was thinking if you had to play them maybe even in the finals or the conference finals that you would have home court and also maybe with Toronto avoid playing them. So, I mean, it just felt like from a distance that Cleveland was trying – to go into the playoffs with some momentum and to get the three seed, and Philadelphia won 16 in a row, so that was not possible. But a year ago, even though the Cavs would go on to sweep the series, I mean, I remember at the end of the regular season, the Hawks beat the Cavs twice, and I remember, watching your television broadcast, and it was one of these, what's going on with Cleveland? So I think it's a different Pacers team, though, and the one thing that I would say is that just 2 weeks ago against Golden State, the Pacers were up 20 to start the fourth quarter. And Kevin Durant went on a 10-0 run and I think had it down to 8 in like a minute and a half. And that's what LeBron did last year in the playoffs. And then Victor Oladipo came into the game and it went back up to 20. And so I think the Pacers are more prepared to withstand runs and to be able to make a run of their own, where last season the Pacers would kind of wilt and under pressure circumstances.
So let me get this, and I was talking about this earlier today. What is the roadmap for the Pacers to beat the Cavs? I know you talked a little bit about three-point shooting. Is it to exploit the Cavaliers' somewhat shaky defense?
Yeah, I think the Pacers have a lot of confidence against teams that aren't elite defensively. And if you look at some of the numbers, some of the Pacers' biggest challenges are against those teams that are in the top 10 in terms of defensive rating. So I think the Pacers have an average to maybe above average offense, better than they've had in recent years, but their defense is also better. And so I think when I looked last, there was a stat about teams that are top 10 in both offensive and defensive rating, and the Pacers are 12th and 14th. And for so many years, it was good defense, bad offense. So I think the Pacers have a lot of confidence offensively. I think their biggest concern is just being able to keep the Cavs from scoring, 120 or 130. I don't expect this to be a low-scoring series. I think that you'll see 120, 115, and I think if they can just play enough defense, and rebounding has been a little bit of an issue, but I don't even think you're as concerned about that with the Cavaliers. So I think it's when the Pacers have been successful, they've forced turnovers, they've had points off of turnovers, and they've had some easy baskets, and that helps their offensive numbers go up.
Jeremiah Johnson joining us. He's the pregame, postgame sideline reporter for Fox Sports Indiana on Indiana Pacer telecast. This Pacer team, I think, is a surprise team in the NBA, Jeremiah. Are folks in Indiana, are the Pacers themselves, surprised at the way this season went, 48 regular season wins after trading Paul George?
You know, I think, you know, to be perfectly honest, I think that 48 wins was probably exceeded almost everyone's expectation level. But I think that over the course of the season, the Pacers players, and it was important around the trade deadline that Kevin Pritchard said, six different guys went to him and said, we've earned the right to see this thing through. We are a team that, you know, nobody believed in. Everyone counted us out. And, you know, they understood the trade deadline, something could happen. But they made a little bit of a plea to the president of basketball operations to say, you know, we want to see this through. We are a team that no one counted on. They counted them out. And we want to try to, you know, put something together. And he listened to that. He's admitted that he factored that into his decision to kind of stand pat at the trade deadline and not make any moves that maybe even could have potentially helped the team in the future. And so they responded in March and April. They're going into the playoffs with momentum. I think it's fitting that they start this series where it's just like the way the season started. No one expected anything from the Pacers in October, and no one expects anything from them in middle of April as this series begins. I don't know of any national analyst that is picking the Pacers to win this series, and I think it's best for Indiana to go into it with that same mentality and to have everyone counting them out.
Jeremiah, a lot of folks nationally have said this Cavs team is not very deep, not very talented. I beg to differ. It's a very different-looking Cavs team, but it's longer, more athletic after all the trades, and I think it's significantly deeper. What's your vision of the way the Cavaliers are constructed now without Kyrie Irving, but with maybe a little more firepower coming off the bench, both offensively and defensively?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I was just doing a podcast that I do here, and I was looking at the lineups and the potential matchups, and I heard what Coach Lou said yesterday about a 10-man rotation. So it was kind of just trying to pick, well, who's the 10 and who gets left out? And I agree that second unit can be scary. And if you've got J.R. Smith coming off the bench, you know, one game he can be big. And if not, maybe you don't play him as much. And the same thing can be said about Kyle Korver. I mean, if he's hot, you play him. If not, you don't. And I think that the Cavs are positioned, if everyone is healthy. Now, you know, you would know about Hood and Hill better than me, but you know, George Hill's someone over his career that, you know, he's available one game and then all of a sudden he's not the next. So if the Cavs are completely healthy, I do think they have a lot of depth and they do present some problems with their athleticism. But also they have some guys that, you know, are not as proven in the playoffs. And for all of the trades that they made with Hood and Clarkson, I mean, those guys will be experiencing this kind of for the first time. And the Pacers aren't a roster full of just, you know, playoff finals veterans, but they've got a lot of guys who have been in the postseason. And, you know, this atmosphere, this experience, it will not be new to them. And I think it just has the makings of a competitive series, I think much more so than anyone expects.
Jeremiah, just give me your thoughts on Victor Oladipo and his, I don't know, the way he's grown this year and how he's a better, I think he's a better player than he's been in the past. What are your thoughts?
Oh, he's absolutely a better player. And, you know, one of the best things I could say about him is just that he has changed the whole personality of really the organization. But you just walk in the locker room either 45 minutes before a game or 15 minutes after a game, and you can just sense this positive vibe. And a lot of that comes from Victor Oladipo. When this team, you know, often falls behind in the first quarter, they've been down double digits in the first half of a number of games, and he's the one in the huddles that is kind of, you know, being overly positive. In the past, there may have been some communication, but it was sort of a, you've got to do this, come on, you need to do better. And Victor just brings everybody up. So his positivity has been a big influence. And then on the court, you know, teams are really changing the way they defended him. I mean, from October, November, December, you saw they didn't have as much respect for them. Calendar turned and you saw constant double teams. You saw teams putting their best backcourt defender on Victor Oladipo, and they were trying to do everything they could to stop him. And what have we seen? We've seen him, his assist numbers go up. He's finding the open man. He's hitting Bojan Bogdanović in the wing. And so he's probably one of the more unselfish superstars for someone that averages, you know, 23 points per game. What stands out to me was after the win against Philadelphia, which happened to be the last time the 76ers lost a game, I think he was 4-for-21. And in the locker room after the game, he was singing in the shower, and that was all. You could barely do interviews because he was singing so loud. And that, you know, that's a guy that maybe didn't have his best individual game, but the team had a big win, and that's all he cares about. And you know, for this organization to have Paul George say he did not want to be here and then have Victor Oladipo be the star that kind of came in his place and all he says is how much he loves it here, it's almost, it could not have worked out any better for the Pacers.
Jeremiah Johnson joining us from Fox Sports Indiana. Jeremiah, does any team in the East scare you if you're any, not necessarily the Pacers, if you look at the eight teams that are in, which team scares you the most?
Well, I mean, you have to say Cleveland just because of LeBron and what he's done. And I mean, watching Cleveland and Philadelphia over the last 2 weeks, but from the Pacers' perspective, you had to almost say you'd rather play Philadelphia than Cleveland. That said, I still have a lot of respect for Toronto, and I think everybody with the Raptors fan base, you know, they all, you know, kind of see the glasses half empty more than half full. But that team with what they're able to do defensively, and I think their bench is probably as good as any in the league, and I think they probably have one of the best home court advantages as well. So you combine everything together, and Toronto's probably the one team that I would go into the playoffs saying is the favorite, but there's no player that I think that, you know, deserves more credit and fear at the same time as LeBron James.
Jeremiah, thank you for your time. We appreciate it, and I think we're looking at a competitive playoff series.
And we'll make sure the weather's good for you while you're here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw snowflakes in the forecast for Monday, so I'm not sure that one will happen.
Bring takeout from St. Elmo's for us, please.
Yes, please, will you? Yes.
Sounds good. See you guys.
All right, Jeremiah.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.